Pele leaned in and said something to Freddie.
Don't let them change you. Keep working on what makes you different and what makes you special. It was great advice, but it caused me some problems.
But what could change Freddie Adu?
Soccer is going to explode, and it's going to be around this kid.
We were the Beatles. Everywhere we went, it was the Freddie show.
And with that came the expectation, and with that came the pressure.
New episodes of American Prodigy drop Tuesdays from Blue Wire Podcasts.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
Welcome back, Packers fans, to the Pack-A-Day Podcast. Happy Saturday. It is your usual Saturday crew. I am Jason Perrone of Game On Wisconsin, Pulse of the Pack, and the Pack-A-Day Podcast, along with Mark Eckel of Packer Report and Paul Brettel of Dairyland Express. Mark, on the East Coast, how are we looking?
Looking good. It's winter. It is winter time here now. It's no long. I'm not on the beach anymore.
What a shame.
Yeah.
The temperatures of although today warmed up a little bit. Today got back into the 60s, low 60s. We were in the last couple of days. We were kind of cold actually. Not Green Bay cold, Paul, but it was a little chilly for the people down here in South Carolina.
Hot and cold is all relative.
We do this every week, Mark. You and I kind of rub it in everybody else's face. That's from the great Dairyland area. And Dairyland's the Dairyland state of Wisconsin. Paul Brettel, how are we looking up there? It is December. Is it a typical December Friday? Well, Saturday, I should say, in Green Bay.
Yeah, today was a little chillier, but Wednesday and Thursday, it was upper 40s. It was actually really nice. So, yeah.
Went for
some walks, took advantage of that, hung out outside a little bit. But today, Saturday, 1 to 3 inches of snow in the forecast, which we haven't had yet this year either. And it's middle of December, so I guess fortunate in that regard, but I don't mind a little snow.
I'd rather have snow than like that freezing rain. It's just that's more of a pain to drive in.
Oh, yep, absolutely.
I agree.
So, well,
what's it like in Arizona?
Oh, what's it like in Arizona? That's a good question. So we actually got some rain earlier this week for the first time in a long time, which is always quite an event in the Phoenix area here. I mean, we were in the low 60s today. So, I mean, it's mid to low 60s time of the year. I mean, if there's winter to be had in Phoenix, it's now in January, and then it starts to warm up in February. So it's very short. Can't really complain. You know, normally this time of year, I start getting excited. I mean, obviously the holidays, but I start getting excited because the PGA Phoenix Open usually takes place at the end of January. It's the Super Bowl weekend. It's a golf tournament that that happens out here, and it's going to take place this year, but I don't think there's going to be any fans allowed at the – and that's like if you live out here, you know anything about the Phoenix area, like that's an annual tradition everybody looks forward to. So it's going to – that's going to kind of stink that we can't go to it this year. But I say that because I just kind of think about, like, when does the weather usually start to turn? And that weekend is typically like a really nice weekend, nice weather – and then things kind of start to warm up a little bit. So, but the game won't. I guess the weather won't matter this weekend because the weather will be no wind and, you know, what, 74 degrees, 72 degrees, whatever it is inside of Ford Field in Detroit. The Packers will travel to Detroit to take on the Lions. A very short injury list this week. And actually next week, guys, I got to check with the overlord, Andy Herman, and see what our topic is going to be because we're actually going to be going on game day because the Packers play on Saturday. They host the Carolina Panthers. Yeah, they host Carolina Panthers. So I don't know if we'll be doing the injury report next week, but a very short one this week. So Equanimee
is short, but not. I mean, go ahead. I'm not going to interrupt. But
thank you, Mark.
There's three guys that were put on injury reserve this week.
Right. Well, so we'll mention those. I'll just go through the list real quick because it is so short. So Equanimee St. Brown, Malik Taylor, and Darnell Savage all listed as questionable. Equanimee St. Brown cleared the concussion protocol. He was a full participant in practice on Friday. He looks to be active and ready to play. Malik Taylor, it's a hamstring injury. That showed up during the week of practice. He was limited on Thursday, didn't practice on Friday. Chances are he's probably not going to play this week. And then Darnell Savage, same thing. He popped up with a groin injury. He was limited on Friday. He's listed as questionable. I don't think anything specifically was said, but I would hope that Savage can go. And then already ruled out are Jay Sternberger. He had a concussion from last game. He did not clear the protocol, is not going to go. And guard Simon Stepaniak, who was active or taken off of the non-football injury list, is ruled out. He was limited all week with a knee injury, the rookie offensive lineman there. So to your point, though, Mark, yeah, the big news from this earlier this week, Tyler Irvin, Raven Green, and Billy Winn were all placed on injured reserve. Billy Wynn's got a triceps injury. Matt LaFleur made enough comments and called it concerning enough times to lead me to believe that he's probably going to be challenged to get back this season, which is unfortunate because in limited snaps, he was doing pretty good up front in the rotation that they have there. Tyler Irvin, it's an ankle injury. He's placed on injured reserve. He was also dealing with that the rib injury. He had a wrist injury previously. The Packers did sign Tavon Austin, and Matt LaFleur's comments earlier this week were that Austin's going to have to be ready to go, so chances are we'll see him make his Packers debut against the Lions. Guys, we'll start with the Raven Green injury. That's the one that concerns me the most because there isn't a real obvious, clear substitution there just for what Raven Green does and the position that he plays. I guess you could say they've got Vernon Scott, the rookie. They've got Henry Black. But I don't know if those guys can necessarily fill in that role. So, Mark, I'll start with you. We've talked about Raven Green many, many times. I know you're a huge fan. I know he's got the connection to the same school your daughter went to. He's also a darn good football player, and the Packers are going to miss him.
Yeah, they are. And it's a shame because, you know, he is a good football player, but he can't stay on the field. I mean, this is every year he ends up missing a good chunk of games. And, you know, guys like that you have to start worrying about. Like, are they worth the investment for the future? Because, you know, you have to play. I mean, it's all about being able to play every week. And he missed a couple games earlier this year. Now he's going to probably miss the last four games, at least three of them, because they put him on injured reserve, right? So, and taking his place, yeah, I guess it'll fall on the rookies, but that's a lot of responsibility for two guys that really haven't gotten a whole lot of snaps from scrimmage this season. So maybe they stay more nickel than dime and leave Martin and Barnes on the field more, or Kirk. I mean, you know, well, Kirksey will be on the field, but maybe either with another true linebacker instead of going with a dime linebacker. I don't know. We'll find out Sunday, I guess.
They have options, but they're not the same options. So Mike Pettine's going to have to get creative, and I guess that's another question, too, for you, Paul, is, you know, as far as Mike Pettine goes, he certainly had a lot of questions about some of his approaches. We heard the story last week about Za'Darius Smith and Kenny Clark going up to his office and saying, hey, just turn us loose, let us rush the quarterback. He did listen to them. So the question is, do you have confidence in Mike Pettine to mitigate the loss of somebody like a Raven Green?
Going against popular opinion, I do. The Packers have options. I mean, none of them are as favorable as what Raven Green would be. But over at Cheesehead TV on Friday, I wrote about what Raven Green meant to this defense, but also some potential replacements for him. So I think we could maybe see Adrian Amos down in the box a little bit more. And I think you could make the argument that some of his better plays, or he's shown more playmaking ability in that role than he has as a free safety. Will Redmond's another option, although his tackling ability is suspect at times and unproven. And then to Mark's point with the two rookies, Black and Scott, they have 61 combined defensive snaps between them. And these are seventh round pick in Scott and an undrafted rookie in Black. You know, this isn't first, second, third round picks. So these are pretty raw, inexperienced guys. And then I think what we could see more of as well is the true nickel, as Mark also mentioned, with Martin and Kirksey on the field together. And ultimately, I think we're going to see a combination of all of that pretty much. I don't think there's going to be one magic solution or one player or two players in the linebacker's case that ultimately takes over that role. I think we're going to see a number of guys fill it.
Well, the one thing I can say for this particular week is that the Lions are going to be without Kenny Golladay for the second time this year against the Packers. So the Packers missed Kenny Golladay completely in 2020. He's got a hip injury, didn't practice all week. He won't play. He's ruled out already. So that's one less thing you have to kind of worry about as far as Detroit throwing the football. Matt Stafford's listed as questionable as well with a right thumb injury, but chances are he's obviously going to play. So it's a small win for the Packers there in terms of what they have to deal with. But yeah, I mean, defensively, I hope that this is a chance for them to kind of sharpen up some of their different personnel, different groupings, and just get themselves ready for the playoffs. And you've also got, now I don't know what Carolina's going to look like, because you know Christian McCaffrey's been on the COVID list and he hasn't played, and the Panthers have been dealing with a lot of those guys that have missed time because of their being on that COVID reserve list. So I have no idea what they're gonna see there. But the week after that, and I'm looking way ahead now, is the Titans matchup, and that's Derrick Henry, and you kind of want to make sure that your defense is sharp by the time they play there. But I mean, there's way more injuries on the Lions side of things than anything. And I guess the most notable ones are Galladay, like I mentioned, the offensive lineman Terrell Crosby, and then cornerback Jeff Okuda is not going to play. He's got a groin injury this week. So guys, Mark, I'll start with you. I mean, Malik Taylor doesn't look like he's going to play, but I don't think you need anybody else besides Davante Adams out there if Jeff Okuda's not going to play. Even if he's triple covered, Adams is going to find a way to catch the football, wouldn't you think?
Well, yeah, the Packers should score some. I mean, Packers offense, I mean, all right, if Malik Taylor is out, that's not quite the end of the world. He plays a handful of snaps. I mean, he's played well. I'm for a fifth receiver, he's had a nice little season for the Packers, but they can get by without him. St. Brown will probably play, like you said, so they're okay. They'll have their top four receivers available, and Austin now. Austin will probably get a little bit of work from scrimmage, I would think. Maybe in the Irvin role as the, you know, motion guy, maybe give him the ball on a jet sweep or something. So, yeah, offensively, the Packers are as healthy as they've been, really. I mean, you know, they're still without Corey Linsley, and I'm curious to see if they'll go with the same line they went with last week, with Wagner at tackle and Turner at guard, or will they put, as we all thought they were going to do last week, and we were all wrong, put Runyon in at guard. Apparently the reason they switched that up was, they didn't actually switch it, but they decided to go Wagner Turner was because of the Eagles' experience on the defensive line, and they didn't want to put a young guy like Runyon up against, I guess, you know, some veteran tackles. But anyway, the Eagles of the Packers' offense, I'm not worried a little bit about. They can move the ball. They can score some points. They scored 40 against the Lions last time they played them, right? 41, yep. Whatever it was.
Yeah, I think it ended up 41-21.
Right. So those, I'm not worried about the Packers' offense. Defense, you know, they'll miss Green. The Lions, the Packers are probably going to see a big dose of running, right? I mean, if the Lions' best receiver's out, Stafford's got a bad thumb.
Yeah, Kerryon Johnson and Swift, if Swift right. can play, you know, you'd think that there's going to be a nice rotation there. If you're right. scouting the Packers at all, you obviously, the first thing you're going to do is try to run the football.
I would run until they stop me. But teams, for some reason, they decide they want to throw on the pad. I don't know what that. And I welcome it. Please throw all you want, because Packers pass defense is getting better. You know, it's pretty good, and you know the two corners are healthy and playing well, and all of a sudden there's a pass rush again.
2020 has already reshaped how we work, and it's almost over. Businesses across the globe are challenged to be their most efficient, which means every hire is critical. Indeed is here to help. Indeed is the number one job site in the world, with more total visits than any other job site, according to ComScore. Indeed helps you find quality candidates quickly, so you can focus on hiring the person you need to keep your business going. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. And now, Indeed's new way of matching you with candidates instantly delivers a short list of quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job criteria that you can contact the moment you sponsor a job, making Indeed the only job site that can move as fast as you do. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/BlueWire. This is their best offer available anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/BlueWire. Offer valid through December 31st. Term and conditions apply.
They've come alive. And yeah, I mean, Darnell Savage, I hope he can play, because he's got an interception in two straight games. He's got like three picks in the last two games.
Yep.
So he's played well. And from a secondary standpoint, yeah, I mean, if you want to test these guys, Jaire Alexander is one of the most surefire defensive players this team has. I mean, he's a great tackler. He's, you know, he tackles with one of the few guys you know when he gets in there, like, okay, he's not going to let the ball carrier go. You know, I just see Preston Smith diving at feet and missing and other guys like that too. But, you know, Jaire Alexander is absolutely. So, you know, test him all you want. Mark, you should probably make some sort of declaration on this show because whenever we record early, the other team listens to you. So we already got Galladay. We already got Galladay and Jeff Okuda. You didn't necessarily say not to play, but they've preemptively listened to your. So what else should we call for this week? Maybe how about Matt Prater missing two field goals?
Nobody ever misses field goals against the Packers. I mean, it's amazing. Guys that miss all year, they make them against the Packers. It
seems, you know, like that's true. And the other thing that's interesting is that Lambeau Field is. Isn't Lambeau Field, like, not supposed to be physically, from a scientific standpoint, one of the easier stadiums to kick in? Because
we wanted a harder one.
Yeah, but the opposing kickers just bury kicks from wherever they're kicking.
I mean, last week, friends, I mean, you know, they beat the Eagles pretty good, and I was really happy to see that. But Elliott, right, the Eagles kicker, he'd been struggling this year. He's missed some easy ones. He missed a couple extra points. First drive of the game, the guy goes down and kicks a 53-yarder. The Eagles took a 3-0 lead last week, right?
Yep, right.
It was like a 50-something yarder. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This guy is missing. He's missing extra points. He's missing. I think he missed like a 28-yarder the week before against whoever the Eagles played. And he comes out at me. I'm like, this is just like nobody misses against the Packers. Nobody.
Yeah, it's rare.
But how about this? I want to see Mason Crosby has not kicked well at Ford Field, so I would like to see a nice, solid game from Mason Crosby this week.
Well, and the other, you know what, Paul, to your point earlier too, one thing we have to mention with regards to Raven Green, special teams, because special teams have really struggled for the Packers, and Raven Green is on all those units, and he's an important part of that too. So
that's how he got hurt.
Yeah, it was on the kick. It was on the Rager touchdown.
Yep, he dove for him and landed awkwardly on his shoulder. So that means that play was bad in a number of ways.
Well, I have a hard time rewatching the replay there because J.K. Scott, I know he's not drafted to tackle anybody, but, it's like do something well, and he just is not doing much of anything well. But, I mean, Paul, I don't know how much there is to say other than Mason Crosby, make your kicks, but he did miss a PAT last week. There are little sneaky things Mason's kind of, I think he's missed a couple in the last 2 weeks, hasn't he?
Two in 2 weeks and three for the year, right?
Yeah, I believe so. And the special teams unit since the Houston game has just been downhill. I mean, there's the block punt in that game, two punt return touchdowns since then, Darius Shepherd's kick return fumble. I mean, getting past the 25-yard line on kickoff returns is a chore in itself. J.K. Scott's net average, I think, is worst in the NFL. I mean, this unit is just – it's crumbling right now. And, you know, this is a game I think we all agree that the Packers should win and should win by multiple scores. But as we've seen, like in the Jaguars game, for example, how do you let a inferior opponent hang around? Turnovers and special teams mistakes. And I'm not going to bank on Aaron Rodgers throwing turnovers, but I can't bank on the special teams unit not making any errors. And one thing I wanted to add about Malik Taylor – with him, if he does not play, I think I was not 100% certain that Tavon Austin was going to be the kick return man. Malik Taylor assumed that role last week. Austin only has 25 career kick return attempts, and 18 of them were in 2013, right, his rookie year. So I wasn't 100% positive that even if Taylor could go, that Austin wouldn't assume that role. But he's certainly going to be out there for punts. And as far as Tavon Austin's role on offense, I think it's going to be kind of limited early on. We saw with Tyler Irvin last year when the Packers acquired him, he was sprinkled in here and there on offense, but his primary job was on special teams. And I'm kind of expecting something similar with Austin. I know his, you know, that 4.34 speed is exciting. He's a well-known player, you know, relative to most fans around the league, former first-round pick, but we saw when Irvin was out, Matt LaFleur will use Devontae, MVS, Lazard, EQ. He'll use all those other receivers as the motion man. So it's not as if Irvin's absence makes them void of one. So I kind of think that Austin's usage on offense is going to be very minimal to start, and his primary job is going to be special teams.
Probably. But if he is getting more snaps, you know what that means? That means the Packers probably have a huge lead. They get a huge lead, and they get a chance to kind of tinker around with, because Austin's a veteran. It's not like he doesn't know how to play football, but you got to be comfortable with the formations and in the offense. And, you know, all those types of things. And Aaron Rodgers, go ahead.
I was just going to say, he's been pretty underwhelming as a receiver. He's been a biggest threat as a ball carrier in his career.
Right. The little pitch. He hasn't been a great return guy either. People think his first 3 years, he did have 3 punt returns for touchdowns.
Mm-hmm.
But since then, his last 4 years, he's had none. And his last 3 years, his longest, he's only had 1 return of 20 yards.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's kind of pedestrian. His career average is like 7.9.
Yeah, like I said, I think overall expectations should be tempered. I know it's easy to get excited about bringing in a new guy. Exactly, because he's a name, and he's a fast name. Faster, not as fast as he once was, but I think expectations should be leveled for the time being.
Yeah, I guess. But, you've got to figure something out there. I mean, I think Austin could really give them a boost down the stretch as one of those kind of additions. You know, maybe he ends up being a more key piece than we think, that is in this last month of the season. And then as they head into the postseason, there's a couple things the Packers could do, because Sternberger is out already this week.
Right.
And DeGuara has been out for a long time on injured reserve. They've got that rookie tight end on the practice squad, Dominique Daphne. And I don't know if either of you two have any additional information on Daphne. Mark, do you know anything about him?
Just that he's from Indiana State, same as Robert Tonyan. I mean, that's all I know. I mean, I really, what's to know? I'm guessing, they'll bring him up again. They brought him up last week.
Special teams.
And special teams. And also, if they want Sternberger, it's funny. DeGuara got hurt and they had Lockett. And then Lockett got hurt and they used Sternberger a little bit when they went with a fullback. Well, now Daphne, they're running out of guys who can play fullback. Not that they use it often, but they usually have a few snaps a game. And I guess he would be the next one in line for it, right?
And out of the tight end group, Sternberger, Lewis, and Tonyan, Sternberger was easily third in snaps just about every game this season. Like, it wasn't even that close to Lewis, who was second behind Tonyan.
Man, I wonder if the Packers wish they hadn't let James Looney go.
Yeah.
After he converted to tight end. Well, I joke. But at wide receiver, if Malik Taylor can't go, might we possibly see Seth Roberts?
No.
Again, you got Davante Adams and Alan Lazard, and if there's no Jeff Okuda, like, I don't know. I don't really know.
They're okay at wide receiver this week.
Yeah, and what we've seen with LaFleur, it's not about your receiver designation it's about being a pass catcher. Right. And even without Taylor, or say even EQ can't go either, you still got your top 3 receivers. You got 2 tight ends. You got 2 running backs who can participate in the passing game. They'll have options.
Yeah, I was just going to say, we may see more Williams and Jones together in the backfield this week.
Yeah, right. This Lions defense is not good. That's how I'll summarize it. They give up a ton of points. They give up explosive plays in the passing game, a ton of rushing yards. I think Aaron Jones had like $170 in week 2. Packers almost put up 500 yards of offense on him. Like, I think you said at the beginning, Mark, like, the Packers are going to score this game, or they should at least. But funky things, as I said, happen at Ford Field. So we'll see. But this should be a game that they should put up 40 points in.
You can't have a brain fart this week. I mean, the Packers just – the Saints are 10-2. Packers are 9-3. So they need New Orleans to at least lose one game. And if Green Bay wins out, they take care of everything else takes care of itself. Any chance – the Eagles host the Saints this weekend, and it's Taysom Hill. Any chance the Eagles can pull an upset? I know that it's going to be Jalen Hurts again at quarterback.
We know what's funny about that. I say no. I think this could. I think that game's going to be ugly. I'm hoping. I mean, I don't root for the Eagles often, but if I ever, this is one week I will. But I spoke to my former colleague Elliot Shore Parks. We worked together at NJ.com my last 3 or 4 years there. Now he's actually working for a 94 WIP, the voice of the radio station that broadcasts Eagles games. He's their writer for them, and he's not a homer by no means. Is he an Eagle? Matter of fact, he generally tells me how bad it is. They have no chance to win or whatever. He thinks they can beat the Saints. He thinks Hurts is going to give the offense a spark. He thinks he doesn't think the Saints defense is as good as their numbers indicate, because he doesn't think they've played a very good schedule. And he pointed out to me, he says, well, you saw them against the Packers, right? The Packers put up 37 points against them. And I said, yeah, but you don't have Aaron Rodgers. You have a rookie, you know, making his first career start. But no, he's, and like I said, he's not a guy that picks the Eagles to win. Like every, you know, he's not one of them, you know, looking at it through green glasses. But he thinks he's not being on Taysom Hill. He thinks the Eagles defense can contain Hill. He thinks it could be a game, and there might, being you brought it up, he thinks it could be an upset. I don't agree. I think the rookie's going to make a ton of mistakes against, I think the Saints defense, I don't think it's as great as the numbers are either, but I think they're still good, and I think they'll present a lot of problems for a quarterback making his first NFL start.
And I know Sean Payton's an offensive coach, but rookie quarterbacks against veteran coaching staffs typically don't fare the best.
Especially rookie making his first start.
Yeah, debut, like correct.
You know, it's not like he's started from day one and now he's in his 12th, 13th game.
Yeah, good point.
I mean, he it's funny, and I put this up on social media just to get my Philadelphia people worked up that, you know, they're so excited over Hurts. He was 5-for-12 with an interception last week, you know, in relief of when he went in against the Packers. And the one touchdown he threw, it was the only mistake Alexander made all
I was just going to say, of all the things, man, Jair just kind of, but I did, and those are the kind of, get those things out of your system now. I don't want to see that happen in January.
Yeah, I mean, it was 4th and 18.
And what is it with 4th and long and the Eagles? I don't know. This one was in Lambeau, though, so it's a different scenario. But
no, it was a bad play. It was more of a bad play on the Packers' part than Hurts making such a great, you know. Like you guys watched the game last week. Were you that impressed with Hurts?
He was okay. I didn't see.
He ran around a little bit.
I mean, you know, there was. We always love to draw parallels, and so I heard some. I don't remember who it was talking about how, you know, hey, if you're looking for parallels, might have been Bill Michaels or Gary Ellerson talking about how the Packers knocked Kevin Cobb out in week one in 2010, and then Mike Vick, a running quarterback, comes in. So here comes Jalen Hurts, and then the Packers end up beating the Eagles and go on to win the Super Bowl. Oh, and nobody's mistaken Jalen Hurts for Michael Vick in his prime. So, no. or even past his prime.
They didn't knock Wentz out. The Eagles took Wentz out.
Yeah, the Eagles took him out. Well, you know, he knocked himself out because his decision make wasn't very good. But yeah, I mean, that wasn't. It's going to be. It would be surprising for me if the Eagles can pull off the upset. But it would be big because I think Drew Brees is set to come back, and then the following week the Saints host the Chiefs, and I think the Chiefs. Right. I mean, I wouldn't bet on anybody against Kansas City right now.
Right, that's the chance for the Saints to fall back, I think. Although this is, as another thing that Elliot Shore Park pointed out to me, that this is the Saints' third straight road game. And that's never easy.
The wait is finally over. Football is back. You might not be at a game this year, but you can be in on the action at BetOnline. BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure you can get in on every possible chance to win this season. From game spreads and totals to team, player, and coaching props, BetOnline gives you more options to wager than anywhere else. You could get in on their season opening bonuses today and start off wagering on wins, division, and championship futures all day, every day. Head to BetOnline online today and take advantage of all the great sign-up bonuses. Don't forget to use the promo code BLUEWIRE at betonline.ag. That's BLUEWIRE, all one word. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts.
Yeah, those road games, I mean, they stack up at that. I mean, that also means that New Orleans is going to get a couple home games at the end there. And
right, but I'm just saying sometimes, you know,
the travel.
Bettors would say bet against a team on his third straight road game.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Just something to throw out there. I mean, I'm just trying to give Packer fans a little hope.
So in the AFC, the Steelers had been undefeated. And wouldn't you know, of course, a team from the NFC East goes in and beats them in their own stadium and ends their perfect record. So the 72 Dolphins pop champagne again. There won't be any perfect teams in the AFC. Now you have an 11-1, or is it 10-1? 11-1. You have an 11-1 Steelers and an 11-1 Chiefs team. I think they're both tied at 11-1 now. Correct. So, but you know, they both have lost one game. So that's, like I said, I'm looking forward to that AFC Championship matchup unless something else weird happens, which very well could. Very well could. Don't count Buffalo out necessarily. Buffalo's, you know, Buffalo's good. That they'll, you know, they'll have something to say.
Getting back to the Saints and the Packers trying to catch them for the number one seed. You know who the Saints play? I don't know if it's after the week after the Eagles or the following week. Minnesota Vikings.
The Vikings, yeah.
Are we going to have to root for the Minnesota
Vikings?
Yes,
we are. you better.
Yeah,
I mean,
I don't know if I can. I really don't know if I can. I'm hoping the Eagles and Chiefs beat them, and then I don't have to root for the Vikings.
Well, I know Stephon Diggs isn't in Minnesota anymore, but the Saints have had their problems with Minnesota.
They have. But,
and the way it's going, the Vikings are a playoff team.
They're on the verge of being one. They're number seven.
I think so. Yeah. So.
I think they lose at Tampa this week, though. I hope they do.
Which is fine. I'm all for Minnesota losing out, but then you know, take care of business against the Saints. Help us out a little bit, because if New Orleans loses two more games, I think the Packers that gives the Packers a cushion. They can lose one.
Oh yeah. Right.
Not that I think that the Green Bay can beat everybody else that's left on their schedule, and they can beat anybody else that's going to come up against them. I mean, the only team that I'm saying I have very, very low confidence in them taking on and beating would be Kansas City, and unfortunately that would come in the Super Bowl. But I would love to have that problem of not feeling very confident that they're going to beat the Chiefs.
I'm glad you brought that up, because I was talking to somebody about that today. Not Kansas City, but in the NFC. So tell me of the contenders. So let's throw these teams in here. Seattle, the Rams, the Saints. That's probably it, right? I mean, whoever wins the East. And Tampa Bay. That's real Tampa Bay. Saints, Tampa Bay, Seattle and the Rams. Tell me the team you would most like the Packers, and let's assume the Packers get to the NFC title game. Who would the team you'd like to see and the team you really would not want to see?
Paul, I'll let you go first.
Gosh, that's a tough one. I think most like to see probably Seattle if it's in Green Bay, because I think they'll go wild on that defense. And here in Green Bay in the cold, I think the Packers defense will be able to do enough, especially with Jair and Kevin King, assuming both healthy, to limit that Seahawks passing game enough. As far as least likely, man.
Or at least a team that you don't want to see.
Right. I know the Rams are the hot one right now because of how they played last night in that run game. But in Green Bay, once again, with Jared Goff, I don't know, call me a prisoner of what happened this year, but Tampa Bay, that defense and overcoming that is kind of up there.
Even in Green Bay, huh?
Yeah.
Okay.
So for me,
the hard part for me is out of all those, I would I like the Packers odds if it's in Green Bay in January here.
I think I said that a couple weeks ago that if they can get the number one seed, I think they should go to the Super Bowl.
Because I was going through each team, I was like the Rams, and like I said, the run game, but Goff in the cold, the Saints in the cold, Tom Brady up here in the cold, and I know he played in New England, all that stuff. But I don't know. Like you said, I think they're the favorite if it's in Green Bay.
That's why it's so important to get that one seed this year. So for me, I'm with you, Paul. I bring on Seattle. I would actually say give me Seattle over Minnesota. I'm assuming that it's in Green Bay, but I don't have a problem with playing Tampa again in either building. I think Green Bay fixes the issues. They got behind.
They wouldn't go to Tampa. There's no way Green Bay could go to Tampa.
Well, no, but yeah. So, I mean, Tampa in Green Bay, like that doesn't worry me at all. I think of all the teams, and don't forget, the Packers would have to deal with Michael Thomas. He didn't play for the Saints the first time that the Packers saw them in New Orleans. Mm-hmm. So they'd have Michael Thomas, but I don't want anything to do with the Rams right now. I think the Rams are the one team I least want to see, and then the Saints are a 1A in that equation.
Okay.
Who you got, Mark?
Paul gave mine away. They might not even get in the playoffs, and that's why I don't want them in the playoffs. I don't want to see them. I hate the Vikings, and I don't want to see them. They've shown they can win in Green Bay. And I'm not a big Kirk Cousins fan, but Dalvin Cook, he killed him before.
Yep.
You know, the Vikings defense steadily gets a little bit better.
Yeah, it's like who's got, just, you know, go down the list and say who's got a good running back or a good running game, and those are the teams we don't want to face the Packers.
I agree. I would have picked Minnesota as well. I thought we had to pick from the group you gave.
Oh, did I not include Minnesota? I'm sorry. maybe I left them out on purpose. So I yeah. That's why I want them out. I mean, I'm rooting hard for your hometown Cardinals this week to move back ahead of the Vikings.
Yeah, I don't know, man. The Cardinals just have ruined so many seasons. Like, I would, on paper, rather see the Cardinals, but they've in the playoffs, they've been a nightmare matchup for Green Bay.
Oh, but they both, I don't think they'll even get to them.
No.
Oh, they might. You're right. If they're seven, you're right. They might. Yeah, it's always been in Arizona, though. Right?
Yeah, somehow, you know, very lamely. And we only have two. We're only talking about two playoff games. It was 2009 and 2015.
Right.
So
both in Arizona.
And both were in Arizona. So yeah. It's like, you know, the Packers just come up against a Cardinals team that's actually having a good season 1 year, and that was Carson Palmer and Larry Fitzgerald when Larry still had some juice. And thank you, Demarius Randall, for forgetting where number 11 is on the field. You know, he had one job. There's one guy that you really need to, you know, make sure doesn't wreck the game. And sure enough, he did. So, but then, you know, that was also, we also, for the Janis lovers out there, that was Jeff Janis Bowl. He caught two bombs, one big Hail Mary over Patrick Peterson in that game. So, but yeah, I mean, it's a good problem to have. And as we move along in this process, and as we kind of, I think next week we'll probably do a preview of the game, because we'll go the morning of the game that is taking place. The Packers will host the Panthers.
My hometown Panthers.
Your hometown Panthers, right. And I know you have a very, very strong allegiance to them as well. So
that is a team that, like, the local station. I mean, even though I'm in South Carolina, as the Panthers like to say, we're one team with two states. So they, I do hear a lot about them, whether I want to or not. I will say this about the Carolina Panthers, and I don't want to look forward to the next week's game, but that guy's doing a hell of a job, that Matt Rhule. He's a good coach. Mm-hmm. That was a good hire.
Yeah, they're going to be, I think they'll be back in action soon, as long as they stock up and they've got good players around them, and when we're not in a pandemic season.
I mean, it's a total rebuild year for them, and they're not awful. I mean, they're not, you know, a playoff team, but they're not awful.
Their overall draft was one of my favorites out of any team this year, the guys that they were able to get. So I think they're on the, like, and Rhule's a good coach, yeah. Like you said. I think they're on the right track.
It was all defense, right? Didn't they take, like, the first?
Yeah, it was very heavy, yeah.
Defense or something? Yeah, they went all defense. He knew what he wanted to fix.
Yeah, just that's know your team. It's like, if, you know, do you want to be the team that has to score 35 to beat everybody and have a stacked offense, or do you want to keep all of your opponents under 20 and make it manageable for the offense? Ideally, you'd love to do both, but
right.
If you have to do one over the other, so. All right, so as far as this week goes, we're into December, into the last month of the season. So what does that mean for you guys as far as content over where you guys are working and writing? So, Mark, anything coming up in these next 3 or 4 weeks? Obviously, we don't know what's going to happen in the games, but is there anything in the hopper that we have to look forward to?
Well, I did a special team story that's up there now, just how bad things have been and how, you know, it's the one thing that could, you know, we're talking about how the Packers could get to the Super Bowl and how they're better than a lot of these teams. But, you know, they're lucky that the two punt returns for touchdowns came against a one-win team and a three-win team. Because, you know, if you let the Vikings get a punt return for a touchdown, or the Saints or the Rams, that's 7 points. It's going to be hard to, you know, to get back. So their special teams has to pick it up a little bit. That was one story. And then again, from here on out, we'll just, you know, I'm sure I'll be writing a lot of playoff scenarios and going over possible matchups. And, you know, and again, right after the game, I'll have my, you know, instant analysis.
Yeah, those types of things. I talked about it on Quick Slants earlier this week about how the warts during the regular season tend to kind of come up and be part of the reason as to why a lot of team seasons end. And I don't want that. You don't want something like that to be the case for Green Bay. I mean, they have who they have. They're not going to fix it overnight. It's going to be something they're going to have to, if they want to retool it all, it's going to have to come after the season. So you just hope that they can get through. And like you said, Mark, they've gotten that out of their system. And unfortunately, against two bad teams, and they ended up winning the game anyway, But yeah, I mean, you know, when you get into a playoff game and it's against really good teams, your defense, it basically comes down to one or two key series where you've got to get those stops. And if you throw in a special teams blunder, now you've just added in a really tough equation when you get into playoff football. But Paul, amongst the thousands and thousands of articles that you'll write between now and New Year's, what's going on over at Dairyland Express?
Recently, I put out my three X factors for this Packers-Lions game. Also on Friday, I wrote about how incredibly efficient Alan Lazard has been as a third and fourth down target the last season and a half. It's pretty remarkable what he's done in earning his trust with Rodgers. Saturday, have my bold predictions, and then Sunday, my have my instant takeaways after the game, as you guys do. And then after that, we'll just kind of see how the game unfolds and go from there.
So you have been very generous the last couple of weeks with sharing some of your bold predictions. Do you want to share any of them with us today?
I won't share any for the Lions game. One, because I'd like everyone to read it, and two, I still have to write it. But going back to last week, I was over three. I was close on two of them. I had five sacks and two turnovers. They had seven and one, and then I had win by three scores. They won by two, and I can't remember the third off the top of my head, but I know it wasn't right.
See, what you should have said was at least five sacks.
Yeah, that's true.
Then you would have had
it. Your other bold prediction was probably keep the opposing returner out of the end zone, and that didn't happen.
Yeah, the Eagles will return a punt.
I'm going to give you a bold. Here's the boldest prediction you can make, Paul. J.K. Scott will make a tackle.
That's bold. Well, see, I like him to be, you know, on the bolder side. I like him to be realistic as well, too.
Okay. You're not doing fiction here, you know?
Right, no.
Well, with our luck, though, what's going to happen now is he's going to succumb to the pressure. There's going to be a return. He's going to try to make a tackle, and then he's going to get hurt. And now you're going to have a hurt punter.
Okay, so they bring the guy that they were going to use a couple weeks ago. I used to like J.K. Scott. One of the Packers' late picks next year, and they're going to have a bunch of third day picks. I think they're going to spend. I'm going to start looking up who the best punters in college are.
Oh, for sure. But that's also the holder. I mean, those are some things to think about.
Well, they can find a holder.
Yeah, they have to 100% bring in some competition.
There. Well, Hunter Bradley, if I think, was it Bill Huber mentioned that Hunter Bradley actually had a couple of snaps that weren't great, which kind of led to some of the mechanics of maybe it was on Crosby's missed kick.
Yeah, it was one of them. Yep.
So just a bunch of other things. The other thing about Crosby, too, not that we want to get off on kickers here, but he doesn't seem to be putting it through the back of the end zone like he used to. And I don't know if that's by design. He's trying to put some air under it so the coverage can get down there. I would just assume at this point you've had so many struggles with returners. Like, just bury the thing out of the – I mean, you want the punter to directional punt and put it on the 1 yard line. But if at this point, with the way J.K. Scott has been punting, if he's anywhere close to his range, I'd be like, just kick it out of the end zone. I'll take the touchback. I don't care.
Yep. Oh, I want that. Give me the I want no returns. Put it in the end zone.
Because it's not just J.K. Scott. It's one thing. Yes, the kick is important. And if you kick it on a line drive and you all kick your coverage and all that kind of stuff, that's bad. But the coverage unit or the rest of the guys on that unit, too, are just as bad.
And not to get off on a crazy tangent here, because I know we're wrapping up. But isn't it? I think there's a world, and it's not a too ridiculous world, where the Packers go 13-3, and then say they go 13-3, 12-4, whatever they end up going this year. A good team is my point. And going into year three under the floor, they could be looking for a new D coordinator and special teams coordinator. Isn't that realistic?
Very. I think so.
Yeah. Although if they go 13-3, and we all just said if they get the top seed, we think they can go to the Super Bowl. I don't think you'll fire your D coordinator if you go to Super Bowl. Special teams, yeah.
Well, I agree. If they get that far, I guess I was projecting that they wouldn't. Yeah, scenario.
If they have a meltdown in the play, if they go 13-3 and they lose in the first round to the Vikings or Cardinals or whomever, and it's because they lose 41-38, yeah, I'm firing Pat the next day.
Yeah, and I didn't say it was a realistic world, but I think it's one that's out there that you're not like, oh, that will never happen type
right.
thing. I think it's a possibility, and that'd be odd.
That would be real odd.
Well, especially the reason that it's realistic is because Pettine was inherited. You know, Matt LaFleur inherited Mike Pettine, so it's a unique situation. If he had hired Pettine, then I'd say, oh, I don't know about that, but he inherited him, and so the leash you would think is a little bit shorter. But I would like to also think, too, that Matt LaFleur is saying, look, this is what we're going to do. Like, and because Pettine's on the field during the games now. He used right. to be up in the booth. He's on the field now. And I understand, like, don't micromanage and you're not a defensive coach and all that other kind of stuff. But you've got to, you're the head coach. You got to jump in and be like, bro, you're not rushing two on this play. Like, you're bringing more pressure than that. And if I see you bring less than that, you're going to be sitting on the bench and someone else is going to be calling the defense. Like, you just take over as the head coach there and just say, this is the game plan. This is what we're doing. Get on board. Unless, and Mark, you covered a lot of football. I mean, I'm assuming maybe that's not what head coaches do, and not very many have the take that approach. I don't know.
Well, each coach is different. I mean, Andy Reid, for instance, in Philly, he didn't. Jim Johnson ran the defense, and he ran it pretty well. So, I mean, he really didn't. Jim was kind of autonomous there. He did what he wanted, and, you know. I don't think Andy ever told him who to play. Or
well, the reason why is because Jim Johnson was a damn good defensive coordinator.
Right, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, I mean, he kind of let him go.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. I mean, I'm trying to think other guys. No, the guys I've covered, they've mostly let their other, you know, if they were a defensive-minded guy, they let the offensive guy run it. Ray Rhodes let John Gruden run the offense. So, I mean, you know, it was, yeah, I mean, and that's how it should be. For the most part. I mean, unless things are going bad and then you might want to step in, or at least, or, you know, for instance, if LaFleur doesn't think Pettine's blitzing enough, he might say, hey, listen, why don't we dial up a few more blitzes here? I think we can get to him with a blitz or whatever. Or maybe he thinks he's blitzing too much and they're getting burned on it. Hey, let's knock off the blitz. They're picking it up and we're giving up, you know, 25 yard completions on it. So let's back off that or something. But I mean, for the most part, you have to hire a guy that you trust and let him do his job.
And for the most part, these past two seasons, it's hard to say. I mean, the offense has carried the team this year. The defense hasn't been lights out all year long. But yeah. Last year they were pretty good. And I wouldn't say that Mike Pettine's not getting it done. But I think I think Paul's question is fair, just from a standpoint if the circumstances are what they are. Again, had it been a LaFleur hire and he brought Pettine along with his new staff last year, probably less likely, but I think there's a good chance. I mean, the special teams, Menenga, if I'm Sean Menenga, I'm up at night. Like, you know, I'm staring at the ceiling like, you know, what do I got to do? How are we going to fix this?
I'm not buying green bananas.
So it's, you know, hopefully that doesn't become an issue. But for now, the Packers have a really good chance to take care of business here. Against the Lions, this is their last matchup against Detroit. Detroit is absolutely not going to the playoffs, so we will not see the Lions again after this season. And it's the Daryl Bevel-led Detroit Lions, because Matt Patricia is gone, along with Bob Quinn, the general manager. Lions are into interviews and that process there. So Daryl Bevel, former Packers assistant coach, former Packers quarterback coach. I think he was Favre's quarterback's coach. Yeah. And then spent some time with Favre in Minnesota as well. Yeah. So.
Yes, he did.
No,
was he in Seattle as well?
Yep, he was. He's pretty much gone to every franchise that you don't want to see. The only team he needs to go and coach for next is the Bears.
and who knows? He may.
He could end up being a coach for Chicago. So, well, guys, this is, you know, so the injury report. We'll be back again, I think, in 2 weeks for the Titans game. I think next week we're gonna have a different topic. It'll be a game preview, so that'll be kind of fun. So we get a little something different to do there. But Packers Lions, it's in the late afternoon slot on Sunday. Hopefully the Packers can take care of business, get into the double digit win column, and they have a chance to clinch the division if Minnesota loses and Green Bay wins. Green Bay is your NFC North division champions, but obviously that's not their goal this season, and we don't hang championship banners we don't hang divisional championship banners at Lambeau Field. So it's been a fun one, everybody. Have a good week. Stay warm, stay safe, and as always, Go Pack, go.